now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us as we study the Word of God together. You know, last week we finished our study of the book of Acts, which we've been in for 2.5 years. And for a long while now, I've been preparing for our next series, but the Lord hasn't given me peace about starting that series yet. And I wondered if the Lord would have me do another mini-series first. And as I pondered this, I received word, as I'm sure many of you did, of the great spiritual outpouring that's taken place at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky, the school I graduated from back in 2007. What started as an ordinary Wednesday morning chapel service quickly turned into something much, much more, as worship simply continued. A time for confession and testimonies was given, and many students simply didn't leave, and many more came flooding back. And so to put it simply, the worship service never ended. Even now, 1.5 weeks later, not only is it still going strong, it has grown. And people from all over the country, and at least 24 other schools, are flocking to Asbury to experience what God is doing. And in coming, rather than finding a leadership-manipulated, hyper-emotionalized event, they are finding and joining other people in simple worship and repentance, in commitment or recommitment of their lives to Jesus Christ. The chapel is still full. The surrounding chapels are full. God is doing an amazing thing, and it's hitting local and now even national news. Now, as you may already know, Asbury University has had a history of revivals. Revivals that have influenced the world tremendously and helped to reshape global missions. On their own website, they share of how in February of 1905, during a blizzard, a prayer meeting in the men's dormitory, it spilled out to the rest of the campus and the entire town of Wilmore. In February of 1908, revival broke out while someone was praying in chapel. And the revival lasted 2 weeks and was signified by prevailing prayer and intercession. In February of 1921, the last service of a planned revival, it lasted until 6 a.m., and services were extended for 3 days. In February of 1950, a student testimony led to confessions, victories, and more testimonies. And this went on uninterrupted for 118 hours. And became the second leading news story nationwide. And it's estimated that 50,000 people found a new experience in Christ as a result of that revival. And witness teams went out from it. Now in March 1958, revival began in a student fasting prayer meeting that spilled over into chapel and lasted for 63 hours. On February 3rd of 1970, Dean Custer Reynolds, he was scheduled to speak in chapel, and he felt led to invite persons to give personal testimony instead. Many on the campus had been praying for spiritual renewal. They were now in an expectant mood, and soon there was a large group waiting in line to speak. A spirit of powerful revival came upon the congregation, and the chapel was filled with rejoicing people. Classes were canceled for 1 week during the 144 hours of unbroken revival. And even after classes resumed on February 10th, Hughes Auditorium was left open for prayer and testimony. And these sessions were presided over by Reynolds, Clarence Hunter, and other faculty. And some 2,000 witness teams went out from Wilmore, Kentucky to churches and at least 130 college campuses around the nation. Amazing story. And in March 1992, a student confession during the closing chapel of the annual Holiness Conference, it turned into 127 consecutive hours of prayer and praise. And in February of 2006, a student chapel led to 4 days of continuous worship, prayer, and praise. And I had the privilege of being a student there at that time when that last revival broke out. And it impacted me tremendously. But this one is by far the greatest one yet. And it is spreading to other campuses like Lee University, many other places I'm hearing. And I keep asking the Lord to bring it to our area and to every church in America and beyond. And all of this has prompted me to ponder how revival, lasting revival, spirit-filled revival takes place in the human heart. What are the keys to finding that revival? Is it going to Asbury? No, though I encourage you to do that if you can. But revival is not owned and limited to any place. Revival is for any person who is willing to seek the Lord wholeheartedly. God says in Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And so today I want to begin to explore what that seeking looks like. What practical keys can we use to open the door of revival in our own lives? And today we're going to look at the first one. The first key is this: knowing and walking in the Word of God. Listen to these words from Psalm 119. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You know, one of the men who has had the deepest and most profound impacts upon my life, and everyone else who had the honor of meeting him, or even just reading his books, was a man by the name of Dr. Dennis Kinlaw. He was an outstanding biblical scholar, profoundly in love with Jesus Christ, and one of the best presidents that Asbury University ever had. He mentored a man who in turn mentored my father and my uncle, who in turn mentored me. And I had the honor of visiting Dr. Dennis Kinlaw in his home in Wilmore, Kentucky, a number of years ago on Thanksgiving. I remember I just knew where he lived, and I wanted to stop by and thank him, to thank him for the impact that he had had on my life. And a member of the family, after greeting me at the door, led me to a back room where I found him sitting. And after telling him who I was, expressing my deep gratitude for him, he spoke with me. And then he asked if he could pray over me. And I confess, I don't really remember so much what he prayed over me. I was just so stupefied by the fact that he was praying for me. But I've devoured his books over the years. And one small section of one of those books, Lectures in Old Testament Theology, has left probably more of an impact on me than any other section of any other book I have ever read outside of the Bible itself. And I hope it'll be just as moving for you. In it, he writes this. He says, "I think the most significant hour of all the hours I have had in all of the years I went to school was in a New Testament theology course at Princeton University. It was under an old German professor by the name of Otto Piper. It was a course for which I was woefully unprepared, and as a result, about 60% of the material floated right past me, for I had no categories in which to place it. The professor had been injured in the World War, and his face was half paralyzed. It looked like a piece of stone. He had no facial expression at all. And this was accompanied by a monotonous tone of voice. I would go to sleep and wake up and realize that I was hearing the richest stuff I had ever heard. But one day in that class, something happened that I will never get over. It must have been in late April or early May. On a Thursday, Dr. Piper would sit on the edge of the desk and answer anyone's questions. One of the students in the class had been a chaplain in the Army and had come back to Princeton for graduate work. And he later became a leader in the Presbyterian denomination and president of Grove City College. And on this day, this fellow looked up and said, 'Dr. Piper, many of us are going to be graduating in a few weeks. We're going to be going out into the ministry. And so is there a list of must books for every pastor? Is there a list of books that every pastor should have read?' And Kinlaw says, 'Well, I became rather interested at that point and looked up.' Dr. Piper looked away and then looked back with that unmoving face of his and said, 'I know of only one must book.' And then he waited a moment and said, 'You know, we make a mistake. Somehow in our Reformed tradition, we think that Luther and Calvin produced the Reformation. But it wasn't Luther or Calvin who produced the Reformation. What produced the Reformation was that Luther studied the Word of God. And as he studied, it began to explode inside him. And when it began to explode inside him, he didn't know any better than to turn it loose on Germany. And it was the Word of God that transformed Germany.' Now, he said, 'The same thing was true of Calvin. You knew what Calvin was going to preach on next Sunday because he would start with a verse after the one where he had stopped on the last Sunday. And he preached his way right through the Bible. Now, the tragedy of the Reformation was that when Luther and Calvin died, Melanchthon and Beza edited their work. And so all the Lutherans began to read the Bible to find Luther, and all the Calvinists began to read the Bible to find Calvin. And he said the great corruption was on its way. He said, 'Do you know there is enough undiscovered truth in the Scripture to produce a Reformation and an evangelical awakening in every generation? if we would simply expose ourselves to it until it explodes within us, and then we turn it loose. And Kinlaw then says, I have wished many times that I had a recording of those moments, because you would be awed by how monotonous that voice was. But you know, even though I was 30 years of age, he says, and working toward a degree in philosophy of religion, for which Hebrew was not required, I went 3 weeks later, changed to Old Testament, and signed up for beginning Hebrew. I've never had any regrets about that. He says, we need our philosophers. I have no interest in doing away with them. We could not make it without them. But what our world needs is the Word of God. And I want to ask you today a question that I hope will either change or deepen the trajectory of your life. What could God do through you if you allowed His book to explode inside your heart? If we want to experience God, truly experience Him, and know Him in all of His fullness, we must be students of His Word. And I'm not talking just a little light reading here and there. No, I'm talking seeking God through deep and determined and hungry study of His Word. Kinlaw stresses this when he says, you will not find God in a bit of superficial reading. You must immerse yourself in the text. And this is not because God is hiding Himself or playing hard to get. No, He wants to be found far more than we want to find Him. It's just that we are so superficial that God cannot break through to us very easily. And so he says, you need to live in the text. You must get to the place, Kinlaw says, where God's Word is a part of you. But if you do, you will go back and give thanks for this study the rest of your days. Not because of the teacher or the textbook, but because of the exposure to the Word of God. And so my encouragement to you today is to study and seek to know and worship God in and through His Word. Take the time, get on a Bible reading plan, join a Bible study, immerse yourself in God and in His Word, so that He might open your eyes to see wonderful things in His law. And in sharing those revelations, you also might be a light to others. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.